We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
And a pleasant good afternoon to everyone out there in Irish Breakdown Land. I'm Vince D'Addario. That guy over there is Brian Driscoll. And we're back 24 hours later from the OG show from Tuesday. We're back. We had a practice to see, kind of. Got the first five periods, so we're going to talk about that. Obviously, kind of what we saw, what we were able to take away from it. I haven't been to a bunch of the five-period ones this spring. Brian has. He said this was the most action that we've gotten.
Which since the first one.
Is crazy talk. But
which says a lot.
Yeah, right.
Which says a lot.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that, obviously. And then we're going to have a little bit of a college football topic to throw around as well. So
we'll have the sophomore surge in there as well.
Yeah. So. Which is all part of the practice, you know,
well,
kind of.
Hopefully
sort of,
when you lead us, you're going to structure it to where it's a different segment. So that way we've got it to where we can make it a second segment.
Fair enough.
But we also said we're going to do more college football stuff. And so I've had a lot of people ask, and I know you guys have had this asked too, Vince, in your shows, you know, what's your guys' top 10 for the pre-spring? So we finally said, okay, let's do one. Let's do one. Let's get this thing going. So we have a very, you know, written lightly in pencil top 10, because honestly, it's going to change in a month when we get through the spring portal. You know, there's going to, it's not going to change like dramatically, but there'll be some adjustments moving up and down when you go through that. So it's going to be fun, Vince, because like you said, the second topic is based on kind of what we've seen from practice, but it's more of a bigger picture discussion. Right. So we'll have that today. So practice report, we're talking about the Notre Dame sophomores, and then we have 9 of the same 10 teams, and we have the same conference at number 10, right. And then there's just like some slight movement, like we have the same 1, 2, 3 in exact order. Our 4, 5, and 6 is the same teams, but different order. Our 7, 8, 9 is the same teams, but different order. And then same conference, but different teams at number 10. And we did the top 10 ranking kind of independently. We have shared each other's lists, but Right. We did them independently. So it's going to be fun, Vince. But of course, the first thing we're going to talk about today is practice. We're going to talk about, we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Practice.
That's exactly what we're talking about the whole time. No. Yes. So again, kind of setting the stage, we get first five periods plus stretching. So we get to see, you know, stretching first, and then we get the first five periods. And so today, just so you guys are aware, the first two periods, I believe, were special teams. It was punt, punt return, that type of deal. Then they did some individual work, and that was about it as far as what we got to see. So they started team as we were walking out the door, which is always a tease. But, you know, that is the kind of the way it goes. But
kind of effed up.
But yeah, I know. It is what it is. It's like, oh, wait, team starts the sixth period. Got it. But no, we were able to glean a few things. You know, we got to see who was out there first for punt return, for example, you know, so there are some different things that we got to see. But let's start over on the offensive side of the ball. Brian, you were kind of keeping an eye on offense.
And yeah,
so we can kind of start there. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The one of the first things we saw was that it was kind of an offense versus defense drill.
And that's true. We'll that was
about it. We'll talk about it during the offensive period because I thought it was a good period for the offense. And I think it's a drill it's probably designed more for the offense to kind of win, but if they're not tough and physical. So essentially what it was is there was – looked like trash cans, Vince, like, you know, practice.
Yeah, they were upside-down trash cans. And then
cleaning player, and then the ball's on top of it. There's a defensive player on one side, an offensive player on one side. I mean, they're literally both can touch the trash can. And then the offensive player has hand on the ball, and then he picks it up and starts to run vertically right to the side of a trash can. Could have picked either side. The defensive player has to meet him, and it's basically like a mano a mano type of drill.
Open field. Here we go.
The thing I like about it, Vince, is it works on open field tackling and being in space, but it's also not a drill where you've got a 10-yard head start that's creating more of the helmet-to-helmet type of contact. It's meant about, you know, being physical, and it's more of a let's see who's tough. Let's see who's going to wrap up. Let's see who's going to, you know, play with good pad level. And it really started off well on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, we saw Deion Colsey run a guy over. Yeah, Jaden Greathouse looked good. I mean, it was a lot of it was receivers against DBs, linemen going at each other, and you know, not linemen, D linemen going at each other. I think it was Boubacar Traore had like the first win. And, you know, we saw like Junior Tuilamaka went against, who did he go against? He went one of the tight ends, I thought.
Well, and it was a W for him. That's what I do remember.
Tuilamaka?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was thinking about KVA.
Yeah. You know, Junior got rocked back. And I looked at him and I was like, he's been very disappointing so far. Just the lack of physicality on that particular play. But, you know, then you saw Kingston come up and, like, the drill, it's a win for the defense if it's a stalemate,
correct,
the way that this thing is set up. And I think Kingston, Drake Bowen, Boubacar, and I would say Adon Shuler are probably the only four that I actually saw drive a guy back. And so those were things to see that you really liked. And so, like I said, Kingston and Drake looked really good in this drill. And then Christian Gray had a really nice pop. It was kind of a stalemate, but it was like a immediate stoning of the receiver. I forget who he was going against, but so that was an interesting period. But I did like how physical the offensive players were, Vince. Sure. I think this is a perfect drill to say, hey, how tough do you want to be? How physical do you want to be? And it's really a man up type of drill for the offense, because I think it's designed to be a pro offensive drill, but only if you have some stones to you. You know what I mean? If you got some competitiveness and some toughness to you.
Well, in this time of year, there's not a lot of drills that are designed for the offensive skill positions to hit. I mean, it's just not, right? And that's one thing I did like about this drill is it forced offensive guys to kind of lower a shoulder and get in there, you know, and get physical with these defensive guys. And they kind of brought it. I mean, the offensive guys brought the wood a little bit. I was impressed. As much as I was a little bit underwhelmed by some of the defensive guys, I was very impressed with the – I mean, if you're – you know,
and that's kind of where you and I see it a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because one of your complaints, which was correct, was that they weren't – the defensive guys weren't wrapping up great. And I kind of felt like part of that was how hard the offensive players were churning. They couldn't really get that, you know, hip explosiveness, get those hands around.
Well, and the offensive guys – did a good job of getting low too.
And as soon as the offensive guys were making contact, they were driving their feet, and it was kind of like you're in recovery mode. And a lot of it was low man wins. And early on, the offensive players did a better job of being the low man and really driving their feet. So I actually was more, as opposed to being disappointed in the defense, I was more, hey, really well done by the offense. And that's always the challenge of the spring is if one side does really well, it usually means the other side didn't.
Correct.
But I, you know, there was some, hey, wrap up. You had made that comment when we were there a couple times, like, you know, they got to wrap up better there. But I really felt a lot of it had, I thought both sides competed.
Sure.
I was just impressed with the physicality of the offensive group during this drill. And with it already being what I felt to be a little bit more of a pro offensive type of drill, it was good to see them get those wins, but that was a good way to start the practice.
Yeah, it was.
See a little bit of that.
Yeah, it was.
It's a competition thing, right? That's really what it boils down to. Marcus Sherman's always talking about, I love competition. This is one of the better competition things we've seen so far because, you know, it wasn't like an in-space drill, which is always very pro-offense. This was more of a, okay, let's see what you're made of type of thing rather than a, I mean, there's technique involved in low man and drive your hips and all that, but this was a great drill that was more about, hey, let's see who wants to compete today.
And as a bigger picture item, I love the fact that they did that first, you know, and Marcus Freeman is big on competition and kind of raising the level a little bit. And when you start practice with that type of a drill, it raises the competition level. I mean, it raises the level of intensity for that practice. It's like, okay, guys, this is what I'm expecting. He was trying to, he kind of gave him a little bit of a fire up speech, you know, when they came together after stretching, then they immediately go into this drill. And Marcus Freeman was the one in there with the whistle too. I don't know if you noticed that, Brian, but he was like, he was right there with the start stop whistle, trying to get these guys motivated, get them going. So I do like the fact that they did that first, and it kind of sets the tone for the entire practice. And again, this is something that Marcus Freeman does. Like, that's kind of his MO. They like to do a competition thing first and then kind of get into the flow of practice. I like that so much better than, okay, we're going to do some indie, and then we're going to do a little bit of group, and then we're going to do some team, and then we're going to ramp it up, you know? So
no, they've been, I mean, even when it's tackling circuit and turnover circuit and special team drills at the beginning, they have a lot of what we've seen in spring has been, there's an immediate somewhat of a competition, but this was the one that I thought was really just
it was great. What
you're made of type of thing.
Yeah. It was great. So they went from that to special teams, right? And that's obviously offense, defense working together and, you know, that type of thing. And so we did get to see, do we want to read off who the punt return guys were?
Yeah, I mean, it's just Jaden Greathouse was the number one guy. Yep. He looks really good getting to the ball and quick. You're going to hear us talk a lot about Jaden Greathouse today in like every portion of the practice that we're going to discuss. And then next was KK Smith, which I was very happy to see. And then Jaden Mickey, then Jadarian Price. And then there was a fifth guy.
Jaden Harrison.
And then Jordan Faison was back there with him, but he was in shorts and a t-shirt, so he wasn't really getting any work. And he was just there because he will be part of the return group early on. And overall punting, I mean, we don't spend a little bit of time on that. They were working on, I don't even want to talk about what they're working on because I feel like that's giving away a little bit of something.
Agreed.
But they were working on a specific type of punt, and so it was geared more. And then, but the point of it was more of a, the way that they were lined up, it was more of a get off the block, get to the returner with the gunners type of focus today. And so, you know, you saw Cam Williams down there covering, which I thought was pretty cool. See Cam Williams down there covering punts. A lot of the corners and receivers were working on it. So, but yeah, Jaden Greathouse looks and it's been that way in all the practice. He's the most comfortable of all the punt returners right now. Just getting to the ball. It's very quick once he gets it, and he's a pretty strong kid. So, but couldn't tackle today. So, I mean, he could make everyone miss because they couldn't tackle him. They weren't allowed to tackle him. So,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, you could just see certain things of getting, I mean, I don't know if I saw the ball hit the ground when it was kicked near him.
I was going to say not when it was kicked near him. They didn't want Jaden Mickey to return the ball.
Yeah. There was a couple that were kicked out of bounds, but as far as like when Jaden gets to that ball, he tracks the ball very well.
Yeah,
he does. But let's get to some offense, Vince.
Yes. Let's get to some offense. So you were kind of focused on the offense today, and you definitely picked the long straw on that one. A little bit more to see offensively. Quarterbacks. Let's just start with the quarterbacks, as that's what everybody, you know, wants to hear. And
that's what we saw the most of today because they were throwing the entire time. I mean, during special teams, during the one-on-ones, they were throwing the entire time. So yeah, let's get started, man. How much of it did you actually get to watch today?
Not as much as I would like. I would look over and see balls in the air, you know, that kind of a thing, but I was not as dialed in offensively as you were. So it was hard to tell that, wait, who threw that? And where was, you know, who was, you know, that kind of a deal. I was very surprised that Riley Leonard was a full participant in throwing.
Yeah.
In throwing.
In the drill part. Yeah. That was surprising. You know, he's 2 weeks removed from the surgery. I just kind of assumed that they would just give him more time. He was walking with a limp, but I don't know if the limp was pain or if the fact he had a really big wrong way. He was walking with a different gait than normal.
Right.
Because I don't think that was it was he was out there and his ankle was in pain. Perhaps that was it. I don't know that it was, but it could also be the fact he had a really big brace on his foot, which is keeping it locked. And it, I don't know. I mean, the way it was, I don't know that it, I highly doubt that he's able to step evenly
right
on it. So I was really surprised to see that. But the fact is Vince, he threw the ball really well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so he was driving off his back. But I mean, the last throw he made was a bomb. And I didn't write down who the receiver was. I thought it was either Micah Gilbert or Cam Williams. It might have been Chris. It was like somebody with longer hair. Yeah, and right. I didn't write down who it was, but I mean, at first it looked like, I mean, he drove off that back foot, launched it. And at first I'm thinking, oh, that's too far. And boy, that sucker went up and down and receiver ran right underneath it for just a gorgeous pass. He threw a great over route, like a deep over route. That's more of a deep climb, and just boom, nailed it. And so I thought he threw the ball really well. I mean, they had him on some movement stuff. The ball was accurate. He was doing a good job of hitting a quick game. The slant routes were right in the gut. I mean, everything I saw, Vince, from him today, I thought was very, very sharp. And ball placement was good, getting the ball down the field. So that was a good thing to see. So clearly the ankle part of it wasn't impacting that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's his right ankle. And so it's his plant foot. And so it's the foot that he's pushing off of. And I was, you know, kind of focusing. I did focus on that a little bit at the beginning. And he didn't seem to have any issues pushing off. You know what I mean? And so that led me, like, it was an interesting brace. It's not a brace like I've ever seen before. It went on the outside of his shoe. And so it was very interesting. So there's a little bit of movement there, obviously. But you could also tell, like, when he would catch the ball, he would kind of pick up his right foot and just kind of catch it on his left foot, you know, that kind of a thing. So not 100%, you know, feeling it in a good way. Right. So, but he was able to push off, because if you can't push off on your back foot, then balls are either going to sail. Most likely they're going to sail or they're going to go into the turf. And I thought that his ball was very accurate today. Every time I saw him throw the ball. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, slants were like in the gut. That's where you want to slant. You don't want it out in front. You don't want it high. That's where bad things can happen. He was getting the slants there. The outcuts were kind of here, you know, where I want them. There just was a lot to see from him today where, you know, good ball placement and, again, getting the ball down. I feel like he threw a wide fade route that just dropped on a dime, slot fade, just dropped on a dime over the shoulder. That I'll say overall, I thought all the quarterbacks were sharp today. That's a route I'm going to have a breakdown on this on the board. It's going to be the first route concept I break down of Mike Denbrock. It's a big part of their offense, like a big part of their offense. But it's a route that takes some work. I mean, that slot fade, Vince, is one of the harder throws to master early on. And because speed and depth and distance, it's not a throw it to this spot type of route, like a traditional corner or things like that. And then, of course, receivers, it's a lot to master. And it was routes on air, so there's a lot we don't know about how the receivers are going to handle it. There was a coach there working with them to try to, you know, work on rerouting and things like that. But that's a whole lot different than going against Micah Bell or Jordan Clark or Christian Gray or Jaden Mickey, you know, or Don Shula or Xavier Watts. But I thought the quarterbacks all threw that ball pretty well, getting it outside, because you don't want that ball to be inside at all, getting it over top. I thought Steve had a nice one. I thought CJ had a nice one. Kenny had one that was, I thought was off target at first, but ended up being a back shoulder that the guy had to turn for, which is, that's going to happen a lot. But Riley looked really good in that regard. He looked really sharp in that regard. And, you know, I was pleased with how they threw the ball. And, you know, Steve's not a great corner thrower. At least he hasn't been in the practices we've seen in the past couple of years. But today he threw really two really nice corner routes during routes on air. Now, keep in mind, all this guys is routes on air. This isn't like one-on-ones. This is routes on air. But they were sharper than they've been all spring from what we've seen, Vince. I mean, I don't remember a single ball hitting the ground. I thought the receivers caught the ball well, but the quarterbacks were sharp. I mean, they were putting the ball. They weren't. There was one-handed catch that Cam Williams made, just really impressive. But other than that, I think that was on a ball from – I think that was a ball from Steve that was high, but might have been Kenny. But overall, I thought the quarterback ball placement today was really good. And they were hitting – like Steve was hitting corner routes effectively, which is not a great route for him. CJ was typical CJ. I mean, just – I mean, he puts that ball wherever he wants it. I mean, that's the thing you see from that kid.
His accuracy is,
Now, look, that's not, shouldn't be surprised by that. He's a five-star talent. That doesn't tell us that he's ready yet. We haven't seen him read a defense yet or have to have pressure or anything. It's just what you know about CJ is when that kid's out there going through RVA and going through drills, it's a thing of beauty watching him throw the football. There's one point I just said to you, I was like, dude, that thing looks so good coming out of his hand. You know, like it just, it's a pretty thing to watch. But his ball effortless play for an RVA today was really sharp. Like a lot of the guys were hitting a corner route, like right near the sideline. Really nice, good stuff. CJ was hitting it like about 3-4 yards outside of the sideline, which meant guys could catch in a turn up field and run. Because his timing is so good, but that when he throws those outside routes, that ball gets up and down in a hurry. He's not throwing on a line because you don't want to throw it on a line. I made that mistake against Dre Bly in high school. My guy had him beat by like 4 or 5 yards. I'm thinking, I'm going to throw this sucker. I was a freshman. My defense, he was a senior. I was a freshman. I'm going to throw this on a line, let my guy Trey catch it and smoke this guy. Dre stepped in front of it, picked it off. So you want that thing to get over top, even if it's got some velocity. You want it to get high. And CJ got it up and down in a hurry, man. And just, I mean, that ball gets out there. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the knocks some people had on him is how is he going to throw the deep ball? Because he wasn't asked to throw it a ton in high school. I thought it was a misguided criticism or concern of CJ's, because we've seen him throw enough deep balls where it's like, guys, if he can do that 5 times, he can do it 20 times. You know what I mean? Like, it's there. But whatever. But, man, his ability to get the ball out on those corners and the deep outs and things like that was really impressive. But the thing about Riley that I like today, Vince, is this is the most, which is surprising, this is the most zip I've seen from him on his throws was today.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit surprising. So I think what we're seeing is that brace is giving him a little bit more confidence to drive maybe off that back foot than he had at the beginning of spring, which might explain why the surgery happened. It leads, again, this is all guesses on my opinion. This isn't, but when a quarterback's not, is in pain on that back foot or has concerns about the back foot, the dry foot, right? There's the lead foot and the dry foot. And the dry foot's the one on the back that you really get that power. And I've dealt with this. I had a sprained ankle on my dry foot my sophomore year. And so I had to, you know, you kind of get onto that lead foot pretty quickly after you drive. You know what I mean? It sucker gets up quickly. And we were seeing that a little bit from Riley today. And you talked about this, Vince. I mean, he was really driving off that back foot and getting the ball out. And it was the most like zip that I've seen from Riley so far at Notre Dame. And that was really encouraging to see. But I thought all four quarterbacks looked sharp today. And that tells me that they're feeling it right now as a group. They're feeling comfortable with what Mike Denbrock is putting in. And they're getting more comfortable with the wide receivers and
you
know, being on the same page and those type of things. So that was a very positive thing to see from today's practice.
Well, and I will also say he's probably had a week and a half or so off of throwing. And so his arm is probably fresh, but the combination of
I mean, they were only 5-6 practices in. So, I mean,
this is true.
His arm should, he's a senior. His arm shouldn't be that.
Right. And the other piece to this whole thing is, while from the outside looking in, I would rather just have Riley on the side, not participating. Yes. Okay. That's the coach in me. Like, stop.
That's the paranoid, they need Riley Leonard to be healthy in 2024 guy. I completely understand. 100%.
Like, that's where I'm at. Understand. But then I'm trying to, like, look at the other side of it. And, look, if he can go out there and he can do routes on air and he can do some of, like, the one-on-ones and some things like that, that does help him in the long run to get the timing down with his new receivers and all of that. And so I do see the benefit of that, as long as it is not going to be a detriment to his healing process. Yes. You know what I mean? And so you don't want to push a guy when he's this important to your offense in a manner that is not necessary.
Right. But you also can be overly cautious too.
Exactly. There's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere. So
I don't think he was the quarterback when we left with the first group.
He was not. I know that for a fact.
So I would be willing to bet you he's not doing any team right now.
Right. Agreed.
And it's just getting him out there in RVA, maybe some 7-on-7 if they get to that, and let him get a little bit of work in. But nothing that requires him to take off running, nothing that's going to put a defensive player anywhere near him.
or an offensive lineman to step on his ankle, or, you know, just a million different little things that could happen that you're like, no. So I'm okay with him doing what he was doing as long as he can do it. And it's not going to, like, you know,
let me just end it this way though, Vince. I'll just say this. And this is a group comment. This is about all the four quarterbacks. I haven't been this impressed with just how the ball looks during drills and one-on-ones, right? Again, one-on-ones, no defense.
Right.
You're a scholarship player at Notre Dame. You should be completing those. So to keep – but I'm more talking about just – it's like when you see something. Like, I could go shoot a three-pointer and it goes in and you're like, oh, nice shot. And then Steph Curry shoots one and it just looks so pretty coming out of his hand, right? Like, just because it goes in doesn't mean one guy's pretty and another guy isn't, or that one guy, I may get lucky,
right?
And but that he's just going to do that regularly. It just aesthetically looking, velocity wise, repeatability wise, this is as good looking of a throwing group as I've seen since probably 2014 when it was Everett, Malik, Deshaun Kizer on the roster. And it might even be better just as pure throwers. That group had a lot of power as throwers. I mean, Ev had a cannon. Malik had a cannon. Deshaun had a cannon. So those guys got more, boom, power behind it. But this group, man, I don't know that I saw a non-spy. I mean, I'm being somewhat hyperbolic because I couldn't see the whole thing. But, I mean, I was impressed by what I saw. I mean, they were just, I mean, it was sharp, dude. And it's been a long time since we saw a room as a whole look this sharp throwing. And this isn't the first time I've had this observation, Vince. So, like, to tell you, this is kind of close to what we've seen every time so far from this group.
Which
now, last time was a little different because Steve wasn't there and Riley was, you know, in a walking boot. So it's just Kenny and CJ. So, you know, it's a little bit different. But
Flynn Pickens,
I mean, these kids can all spin it. They really have. They can all spin it.
Yep. It's a good group, and it's going to be fun to watch. And I think whatever decision is made about 1 through 4 is going to be a great decision, because I think that they are somewhat interchangeable at this point. So that's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
A very good thing.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, other aspects of the offense. Obviously, we get to see wide receivers a decent chunk. So, observations on the wide receivers, sir.
Number one, just Jaden Thomas was very limited. We didn't seem to take any one-on-ones, no pads on, was going through drills, kind of half speed, a little gingerly, so looks like he's a little knocked up again, which is a little disappointing. And So I'm trying to think of, so we didn't see him. We didn't see, Deon Colsey was good. He looked, I mean, he still has the hand surgery, but the most impressive thing is Deon caught every ball that came his way, which he did not do the last practice we saw. Cause you could tell he was kind of learning how to catch with whatever he's got on his hand. He's learning how to catch with it. Caught the ball well today, but his toughness in that one-on-one period.
I was going
to
say, they let him go through that one-on-one drill with a
because that's the first repaired
finger.
That's the first thing that happened. It was like he was one of the first guys to get a rep, and I was like, why is Deon Colsey doing this? And he just ran somebody over, man.
Yes.
And it wasn't a walk-on. It was a scholarship kid. I don't remember who it was. But I was like, all right, Deon, like, there you go. And so that was good to see. And he was just he was playing a little bit more pep in his step today, going through drills, going through, you know, RVA and stuff. So that was, you know, if you're Deon, you're looking at this like, this is my chance. Bo Collins is not practicing. Jaden's not practicing. Like, dude, this is my chance to show everybody that I'm that guy.
100%.
This is a very important period for Deon. And I don't know what he did when we left, but I thought he looked sharp and locked in when we were there.
Yeah.
And that was good to see. But the guy that stands out the most, and our guy Salty Virginia Peanuts is going to love this. This is absolutely true. I said this to you how many times during practice. I looked over to you and I said, I'm feeling very good about my prediction about Jaden Greathouse being their best receiver this year. I'm feeling very good about it. He just – how he carries himself is just different from anybody else on the roster. He's the first guy through every drill.
Yeah.
A true sophomore is the first guy through every drill for Notre Dame. He's confident. His route running is crisp as he catches everything. But the thing that I saw today, Vince, and I don't know if you had a chance to see anything from Jaden, his explosiveness, his burst, his long speed impressed me today. Because half of last year, he was dealing with a hamstring problem.
Right.
And he looked really, really sharp and really explosive and really accelerated well to the football. And he's just a really impressive kid. I mean, it takes a lot for a receiver to kind of have me react the way that I'm reacting to Jaden when he didn't take a single rep against the defense. Like, you've got to look really sharp to catch my eye as a receiver when you're not going against anybody. Now, that's the next step to evaluate him is what's he doing when it gets to team and 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s. But in what we saw today, man, I was impressed. I was impressed. And some people are saying, like, you know, Jordan Faison missed an opportunity. Jaden Greathouse was ahead of Jordan Faison last year.
Right.
And the only reason Jordan Faison was playing in the slot was because they had to move Jaden Greathouse out.
Jaden Greathouse out, yeah.
Jaden Greathouse is always going to be a starter at Notre Dame. So this notion that, you know, he's passing up Jordan Faison, Jaden Greathouse was always going to be that guy.
Yeah.
The question is if Jordan's ready to go, you move Jaden around. But Jaden Greathouse is right now their best receiver. And so I don't think Jordan Faison's missing anything by not being there. You know, he's getting plenty of work in.
Just makes him always deeper.
I don't care if Jordan Faison was out there every single day. Jaden Greathouse is their best receiver right now, and it's been that way every practice we've been to. Now, other guys are looking good. You know, Chris Mitchell looks good. He's got some speed and smooth and fluid. Micah Gilbert is super smooth
and freshman, we
got to see Micah let it go a little bit today, Vince, with some long speed. You know, everything we've seen so far has been like ins and stops, and you know, there's been a couple outside goes, but today it was a lot more of the drives, the overs, the posts, the goes,
right. A lot more long balls.
Yeah, exactly. And so you got a chance to see some of that, and you got a chance to see Micah really turn it loose. And you say, okay, he's got a little something to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little something to him. So KK Smith is real smooth. I mean, he's just it almost looks like, Vince, and I don't know if you saw much of KK, and it was like this in punt return too. It almost kind of looks like he's not trying real hard because he's so smooth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, he's just like, yeah, he's going through it pretty quickly. He's just a, you know, boom, boom, boom. So, you know, get his hands up. It's everything he does is just real natural and smooth. KK impressed me. Jaden Harrison's really twitchy, choppy route runner, like still learning the intricacies of route running, but his explosiveness is really impressive. It's really impressive. And then the last one for me is Cam Williams is an interesting kid because, first of all, he looks like a veteran. I mean, Cam and Micah are about as well put together freshmen as you're going to see. But when Cam's going through drills, and whether it's the box drills, whether it's working on the stop top ends, he's always three-quarter speed. He's very robotic because he's learning it. He doesn't really know what he's doing. He's not comfortable right. yet. And so you're like, you can tell he's way behind the other receivers in regard to his comfort level on the precision aspects of playing the position, which isn't really overly surprising. But when you get out to one-on-ones and they're running all these vertical routes, you're like, yeah, buddy, that's why Cam's a dude. Because he just plays at a different speed than everybody else, a different gear right. than everybody else. And you're like, yeah, that's why you've worked on the route stuff now to get that figured out. Because once that light goes on and the 6'2", 205,
sure,
4'4 speed takes over, you got yourself a dude. And he caught the ball. Remember the first day he dropped like 4 or 5 balls the first practice? Because it was in his head, man. Today, I mean, did you see that one one-handed catch he made on a it was actually this way on an over route? Really impressive catch. So
yes, I did.
He's looking more comfortable in those settings. It's just trying to get that timing down of how to run routes, and he's sure. just not there yet. But if you're a football coach and you had to play a game on Saturday, I'm running him a go route. I'm running him crossers, overs, and posts. I don't need him to know all the other stuff. I'm playing him, and he's going to get reps doing that stuff. But again, it's awesome, Vince. It's April 3rd.
Right.
They're not playing a game on Saturday.
Exactly.
This is a great learning experience for him, and I don't care that he's going through it three. I'd rather him go through it three-quarter speed now and really focus on the timing of it, the footsteps of it, the sink in your hips. And then as he gets into the summer and the fall camp, he'll then be able to speed it up, get rid of the tells because he lifts up at the top. That's a tell, you know, so he'll learn all that stuff. But, man, when he gets out there and he turns it loose, he can really fly. And again, guys, as we said before, there was no one-on-ones against right. DBs, no 7-on-7. This is just RVA going through routes, working on the route concepts, working on the timing. But when he's out there doing that stuff, Vince, he can fly.
Oh, yeah.
He oh, really yeah. can fly.
Well, and in a lot of other years, he's pushing for playing time. You know what I mean?
And he'll be doing that again this year too.
Right. But I'm yeah. saying even
in
even
past like, years, you're like, dude, he's going to start.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like the wide receiver room has been remade in a very good way yeah. at this point where
right.
he kind of has that leeway a little bit to kind of learn, especially in the spring, to learn and get himself up to speed and get him to where he needs to be. That way he can actually be a contributing member of a potential rotation or, you know, a package guy or whatever the case may be right. as a true freshman. You know what I mean?
He's got better be a package guy.
And I agree with you. I'm just saying like he's got that ability to learn now because the room is as deep.
And that's a great point, Vince, because you don't need Cam to be that guy right now.
Exactly.
You've got Chris Mitchell. You've got Jaden Greathouse. You've got Deion Colsey. You've got KK Smith. You'll eventually get Jaden Thomas back. You're eventually going to get Bo Collins there. You've got Jaden Harrison. You've got Micah Gilbert, who's a more advanced player right now than Cam. And so you don't need him to – you know, hey, if Cam doesn't grow up in a hurry, we're in trouble. You don't need that. It's like
exactly.
you teach him, you throw the kitchen sink at him now. And then when you get to fall, you're like, okay, he's really only good at these four things. Okay, fine. Put him in a game and run those four things. And you're fine. And, right. and he plays 10 snaps or something like that. But those are things that I like to see. But just there's a different look to this receiving core, Vince. They just kind of go through everything with more confidence. And part of it's the personalities of the kids that are here. Cam Williams is a very confident kid. Jaden Greathouse is a very confident kid. You know, you're seeing more of that. Chris Mitchell carries himself with a lot of confidence. I don't know him well enough to know if he's naturally a confident kid, but he carries himself well. And so Jade Harrison's carries himself with a lot of confidence. So it's and of course, then there's just speed. This group can run. I don't know if they're going to be any good in the fall, right? Because, again, we haven't seen them go take a rep against a DB since the first practice of the spring.
When there was no pads or anything else.
Right. But they can run. This group can really run. So takeaways, Jaden Greathouse will look great. Cam Williams can really fly. Micah Gilbert's very advanced. the transfers are explosive athletically, and Deion Coles, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now. To me, those are the big takeaways from receiver. Running back, Vince, we didn't pay much attention to them. They were just working on handoffs and back drills. Yeah. One thing I did like is they catch the ball well. We did see Jabron Payne. I haven't seen him all spring. I know he's been there. I haven't seen him, meaning I just haven't – whenever I've looked at the running backs, Jabron hasn't been getting the rep.
Right.
It was nice to see him, just kind of recognize him, see him catching the ball. Kedron Young was out there today. He wasn't in pads, but he had a jersey on, and he was going through bag drills, so they're working him back into shape, which is good. But the one thing I did see today, and again, I wasn't focusing on the running backs a lot. I was more focused on the quarterbacks, but Jadarian Price is route running on routes out of the back. It's like the traditional routes, running back routes, Vince. He's getting sharper and sharper and sharper as a route runner. I noticed that today. He's getting a lot more comfortable with those routes because we're talking about two different things. There's the routes they're teaching Jeremiah Love, which are basically receiver routes. We're not talking about those. We're talking about running back routes, routes right. that you have is built into your package for the running backs. And so that's him. Because if you can get Jeremiah Love doing his thing and then, you know, like – then all of a sudden you've got Jadarian Price can also catch the ball on certain things. You're going to be dangerous because now you truly have everyone on the field as a legit pass game weapon.
Right.
So that was good to see. Offensive line, there was nothing to tell from today.
And they all went outside.
They weren't even inside most of the time.
Offensive line and defensive line went outside for a while too. Mm-hmm. So they, you know,
they were working on bags, two man drive blocks. There was not a lot to see. And so, only time we saw them take one rep and Jordan Clark blew the play up. That's all we saw from them was that. So,
yeah,
that's why we're not focusing a lot on the lines. There's just nothing really to see.
Absolutely. So, and again, defensively, we saw the drill that we talked about. And so some of those guys stood out and we kind of talked about those guys. Then they broke off and they were doing some route recognition, some formation recognition with the back seven, you know, and it was the back seven that we anticipated that it would be, and then that it's been for a while now, especially with Benjamin
Drake Bone at Mike, Jack Kaiser at Will, Jalen Snead at Rover, and we saw number one boundary safety was Adon Schuler. Number one field safety was Xavier Watts. And then when they rotated, Vince, it was Jaden Osbury at Rover. And then we saw Kingston come in at Will. Mm-hmm. And then actually, I think Kingston actually came in at Mike and they moved Drake over to Will.
Yes.
Is what we saw them do.
And they had Kaiser at Mike with like the second group. Like they kind of just reversed them.
Yeah. For like one rep.
Yeah. Right.
For like one rep. Yeah. And then you saw Luke Talich as the boundary safety. Right. And then Ben Minnick as the field safety is what we saw personnel wise. But I thought the communication was good, Vince, considering how many young guys were there. I think I only saw, I mean, Al Golden was chirping about communication, but it was more chirping in regard to emphasizing what they're doing, what the drill is about, get that communication. It wasn't what the flipping heck are we doing here. It wasn't that. Right. The only time he got pissed was at the scout team guys for not giving the kind of speed look that he needed.
And he wanted that drill to move.
Yeah. Like he seemed to be pleased for the most part with the communication that was happening. And there's a couple times there was mistakes and he didn't lose it. He was like, loudly corrected it.
Yeah.
And then they did it again. And when I say loudly corrected it, it was more of a, when he's loud, it's more of a, I want everyone to hear this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't have to repeat it to the next group, which I like. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And so we saw that he was, I mean, this was probably the most barking I've seen from Al Golden in the practice
by far
for a while. Like, you know what I mean? And again, when I say barking, it's coaching, but it's like forceful. And it's like, here's what we're doing and everybody get going and we got to move and we got to go, you know, but it's amazing listening to him coach that fast.
Yeah.
It really was impressive. Cause like, I mean, that drill was going and he was saying a lot and it was like, dude, he's getting a lot of coaching in a very short period of time.
And he, like I said, he knew exactly what he wanted to get accomplished out of this drill from start to finish. And he did not want any air
you know, between reps. Like, right. I mean, he did boom, 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 boom. Well,
and why, Vince? I mean, what's the reason why? It's because you don't want them. You want them being stressed. You want exactly. your defensive players being stressed.
Yes.
From mentally. A tempo standpoint, so that they don't have 5 minutes to figure out what's coming at them. It's like, exactly. you want to push it. You want to push the tempo on them. So everything they do, you talk about boom, 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 boom. That's what you want the decision-making yep. process to be. Because I've always believed you always go faster in those things than really what's real in a game. Just like when I would teach route running as a receivers coach, I would have them overemphasize the hip drop. You know, well, they're never going to, you know, put their chest over their knees like that in a game. But if I can get them to overemphasize that during drills, then in game, it's going to look exactly how I want it.
Yeah.
And you could see that from Al Golden. So I enjoyed watching that. Like, I was supposed to be watching the offense during that period of time, but I kept looking back over and listening to Al Golden coaching. And I don't know. I think I might have heard one word I wouldn't want my mother to hear. I mean, it was coaching. It wasn't like – it wasn't screaming at him. It wasn't no, UMFers. No. It was coaching. And yeah. And
that was his drill. Yeah. That was his drill.
I mean, you saw every other position. Max Bulla was back there chilling. I mean, everybody's back there chilling. This is him.
Yes.
And Vince, there was a part where Vince is like, I'm just glad to know it's not just high school that the scout team coaches can't get guys going, because that was the problem early on. He's like, guys, come on, go. What was he saying? This is a jet. This is a jet, meaning like you got to go with some tempo.
Right. And
like the jet and the running back kept running into each other.
It's hilarious.
He's about to lose it.
It's hilarious. How many times have you been trying to coach your side of the ball and the scout team isn't just give it to me? Yeah. Give it to me. I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to get over. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I felt like Al Golden was about to do. Yeah. I thought he was about to go and start coaching.
Give me the cards.
Yeah. Give me the cards.
Because that an expression. That full-time coaches have yelled a million times, just give me the cards, you know. Exactly.
I made this dummy proof for you guys and you can't even do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
That's my favorite, but
the point is, Vince, in reaction to that, there was a lot of good, healthy communication happening. And I noticed he commended Adon Schuler a lot for getting the communication correctly. And as we kind of dive into some guys we thought looked good today, Vince, Adon's one of the first ones that popped in my head.
I think he's going to be,
watch more of the defense. Go ahead.
I think Adon is going to be, and we've talked about him every time we've done one of these already this spring, right? Because he's popped. I mean, he hasn't looked like a fish out of water with the ones. And I think he's going to be one of the real bright spots coming out of this spring. And he's going to force himself onto the field. Now, I don't know if he's going to end up being a starter or not. I mean, obviously they brought in a transfer to potentially be the starter across from Xavier Watts. And I get that. And Adon gets that too. But he has got an amazing opportunity this spring where he doesn't have anybody in that spot. And he is able to get those reps. And he is taking advantage of those number one reps. I was impressed with him in the drill work. Obviously, Al Golden was impressed with him with the recognition and things like that. And he's moving at full speed, which sometimes that can be tough when you're a first time in the limelight, you know, kind of a deal. But he is coming downhill. He's doing things at full speed. I have been very impressed with him. And if he ends up, you know, winning the starting job, he is going to earn it big time. He's going to earn it. And he's going to earn himself playing time, period.
Yeah, that's the key. Whether he's starting or not, to me, is irrelevant. They need at least a third safety to play a bunch. Whether he's starting or Rod Hurd starting or they're co-starters or whatever the case may be, Adon needs to play. And I don't even care if he's starting or not. He needs to play. And he could be wrong in the things he's doing, Vince. But if he is, he's doing it the way that you and I have always said. You want a young guy to do it. Make a mistake 100 miles an hour because I can fix the mistake. Don't develop the bad habit of not going as fast as you can go. Now, we're not talking about being out of control. I've never seen the Don out of control. It's just like when you commit to do something, do it fast. And so he looks confident. I mean, he doesn't look like a sophomore. If anyone has actually seen a Don in person, he looks like a fourth-year NFL veteran. I mean, he is a ripped-up kid. I mean, he is about as jacked up as you're going to see in the secondary, to the point where if he gets any more jacked up, you're going to be like, dude, are you a little too jacked up to be playing in the secondary? Like, seriously. That is a put together kid, man.
He stands out when you're watching. Yeah. From a physicality standpoint, from a physical looking standpoint, he stands out immediately when you're watching the secondary. Yeah.
But I like what I've seen from him. I think Luke Talich continues to look more. Luke is trying to get to where Don is. We're just always knowing, and even today, always knowing what you're doing. Even today, you could see it there when Luke knows what he's doing. He's smooth. He's rangy. But there's a couple times, like, okay, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. He looked like he thought and he did the right thing, but Al Golden had to kind of be like, you know, hey, you're good. That's what I want. But Luke didn't do it with the same confidence that Adon did it. So you could tell he's still kind of learning it. But when he does do it correctly, Luke is a really smooth, fluid kid as well. And it was good to see him. I thought, you know, we don't pay a ton of attention to Xavier Watts. Vince, you and I were joking about that before.
Right.
But I did notice him on some reps. He's moving really well. He's filled out a little bit in the upper body.
Agreed.
He looks a little bit more thicker upper body, like in a good way, like here, you know, like in a good way. But he's moving well, no stiffness, none of those type of things. And so overall, I tell you, man, Vince, I don't know if these kids can play, but the athletic ability of the safety group is noticeably better than it was a year ago. I mean, DJ Brown is a super smart player, and all these kids have a long way to go, but Ben Minnick, Luke Talich, Adon, so they're all better athletes than he was. But you know the safety that had the most impressive play today for me?
Go for it.
Kennedy Urlacher. That dude arrives at the football with some force. Like, he probably had the most physical play hit of the day during that one-on-one period. Like, I don't know if that kid can cover anybody. I've never seen him in coverage, but here's my note. That kid can run, and that kid's got some natural power to him when he arrives at the football. Like I said this in the practice report, I don't know if that kid's going to – like, I would like to be able to redshirt him because I think there's a lot about the game he needs to learn. But it's going to be hard to be able to look at number 23 and be like, yeah, he shouldn't be starting on our special teams this year. You know what I mean?
I'd love to have him coming down as a gunner. Or something like that. He's going to blow somebody up.
Coverage and punt coverage.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He arrives with some force, dude. Like, he really does. But he can run, though. That's the thing. He's not some, you know, stiff athlete but he's really powerful. He can't run. He can't move. But, boy, he's really powerful. But he stood out to me. And the other thing that we noticed today, too, Vince, is two things about Micah Bell. Everything he does is faster than everyone around him. Everything, but he still has to work on being more forceful at the point of attack.
Right.
That's going to be the thing for Micah, but he moves. He's fast. I mean, just easy fast, meaning like side to side is fast, open up and run is fast, gets downhill. He is really fast. And then there was one other DB Vince that I know that you really kept talking about when we were talking, and that's a certain cornerback in the sophomore class.
Well, I mean, how can you not be excited about Christian Gray? I assume that's where the direction you wanted me to go with that. He just looks so smooth. They were doing some zone turn drill work while the other guys were doing the recognition. And so the corners were just off with Mike Mickens doing some zone turns and some other drill work over here. And he is just so smooth, man. Like, his hips are smooth. He just moves on a dime. I mean, and I know this probably doesn't surprise anybody because that's just who he was last year as well. But he's filled out a little bit more, which is good. I think his ball play is really good, too. He made a nice one-handed catch today in drill work. It was like, okay. You know, he just tracks the ball very, very well for a defender. Because that's obviously not always the case, but we saw that in games last year when he made that one-handed interception at one point in the season. And so, you know, he just does such a good job playing his position. And I've just been so impressed by him. I've been so impressed by him. And obviously he's going to play this year in the fall. What does that look like? you know, remains to be seen, obviously. But, man, you're not going to have any issues when 29 is on the field. I mean, that's just – he just moves so fluidly. I was just very impressed with him today. No doubt about that.
Speaking of people who are confident, that kid plays with a lot of swag.
Oh, and rightfully so. It comes from a very pure place. There's no doubt. He's not one of those guys that plays with the confidence that he can't back up.
And it's not arrogance. It's not. He's not. It's just, that kid knows he's good.
Yeah.
He's good and he knows it. But he plays with some hunger too.
Yeah.
He wants to get to the ball. He wants to shut you down. He wants to stop you. Absolutely. So those are guys, Vince. Anybody else from the defense today that we saw? I mean, a lot of it was drill work and
you know, another guy that I was pretty impressed with just his footwork, because he's really getting an opportunity. And he's a walk-on, I believe, Isaiah Dunn.
Yeah, he's been banged up a little bit this spring.
I thought he looked pretty good today, to be honest with you, because now he's running with the twos. And, you know, he's getting that kind of an opportunity. And so I think he's, so far, at least in what we were able to see, he's making the most of it. And I was impressed with the way he was moving around today.
So that I think we've covered it all, Vince. I think we got to everything. Let me just check my practice report here real fast and make sure that there's no one that I wrote about in my practice report that we didn't get to today. So we talked about the quarterbacks. We talked about the running backs, all the receivers. We did talk about Kingston was impressive in what we saw today. Yeah, it looks like we got it all, man. Yeah, we did it. It. You got through all the practice stuff.
So, hey, everybody, make sure you hit the like button, the subscribe button, notification bell, share it with your family and friends, all the fun and important stuff that we ask you to do. And, of course, boards.irishbreakdown.com, because that's where the intel is. So make sure you check that out as well.